Welcome to the 17th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. For this NBA team that we'll be discussing today, it will be the Dallas Mavericks. What a season the Dallas Mavericks had, definitely exceeding a lot of our expectations. As many of you guys may know, last season, the Dallas Mavericks made the NBA playoffs for the first time in a couple of years. And they had themselves a very interesting series with the Los Angeles Clippers. It was a back-and-forth series, controversial game one with the Porzingis ejection. But the Mavericks, they kept that series close. One of the main plays that the Dallas Mavericks made in that series was that Luka Doncic game four, game-winning three-pointer that tied the series at two games apiece. Obviously, as many of you guys may know, the Los Angeles Clippers did beat the Dallas Mavericks in a six-game series, but that showed the future of the Dallas Mavericks, especially with the dynamic duo of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. Caleb, where do you believe as a duo Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis rank in the NBA? Could you consider them as one of maybe the top three or the top five NBA duos in the NBA?
They're more like a top seven. I think they range from the 5 to 10 range just because they haven't had a full season healthy. When they are both healthy, they look like a legit contender, but they just can't at least finish a series off with KP healthy. And that's pretty hindering, you know, because it falls all on Luka and he doesn't really have that second counterpart. But as them as a duo, I think they are a great duo. Like, they definitely had the pieces around them last year to become like complementary pieces. They had the pieces around them to bring them to the next level. They just got to be healthy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely make a good case there. I believe the Porzingis-Luka Doncic duo is one of the better duos in the NBA. I personally rank him in the top five. I mean, you look at top duos in the NBA. Like, obviously, top duos in the NBA. Number one, obviously, is for our LA Lakers, LeBron and Anthony. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, you probably have to throw in Kawhi Leonard, Paul George as one of the better duos in the NBA. At number two, just because of the capabilities that they have. Obviously, as we all know, they blew a 3-1 lead and choked in the second round.
He's giving you these guys as a number two duo that blew a 3-1 lead.
I know. It's crazy, but they definitely have the ability to bounce back. Yeah. Number three duo in the NBA. I mean, it went when healthy, I got to put Steph and Klay.
Yeah,
up there when healthy. Obviously, we can't see that duo this upcoming season because Klay suffered a devastating setback injury. I have them as number three. Number four, definitely got to have that Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum duo. That's one of the top duos in the NBA. But number five, I think Luka and KP can slide right in to that number five as one of the better duos in the NBA, just because, I mean, this is their first year together, and they pushed the Clippers to six games. And Porzingis wasn't even healthy for most of the series. If Luka Doncic, I mean, Luka's in the level of his own. He's starting to turn into one of the best players in the NBA. But it's all about Kristaps Porzingis. If Porzingis can be healthy and return to form like he was in his early days with the Knicks, where he would average, like, you know, 25-plus points a game, you know, 10 or so rebounds. It was, as some people refer to him, as a unicorn. If he can play like that, and if Luka could keep that up, that's going to be a scary duo in Dallas. I mean, even Dallas one time had a duo in their franchise. Their names were Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash. Granted, a lot of people know Steve Nash as being a member of the Phoenix Suns, but he started out in Dallas a little bit, and they had a good little run. But obviously, Steve Nash moved on to the Suns, and the rest was history. But I think this duo of Luka and Kristaps Porzingis is going to be a big talk in the Western Conference for many years to come.
Yeah, hell, dude, definitely. I can see them being a top one duo, but it really depends on if – if Porzingis can be healthy, your duos, like, just to rank your duos, they definitely were good. I'm going to put mine out there right now, too. I got LeBron and AD number one. I got KD and Kyrie when healthy.
Oh, man, how did I forget KD and Kyrie?
Although they didn't play together a full season, I have them number two. You mentioned somebody at number three. I'm going to give the next duo that honestly that I seen that was a good duo last year. And I had a good time watching Jamal Murray and Jokic. They're my three. I think that duo right there is amazing. And then I'm going to throw another win healthy duo back in. And I'm going to go Steph and Clay, period. It's definitely Steph and Clay. Next, I mean, we have some good guys that we're missing. You know, we didn't mention Milwaukee and Giannis. I want to really go with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Last year, the duo was not only fun to watch, they actually went healthy. They put up fucking good numbers, 30 and 30 for both players. So I think they had a top five duo. And then I will go Ben Simmons and Embiid. And then I would go Luka and KP, just because KP wasn't as healthy as Embiid and Westbrook. You feel me? But if healthy, I put, you know, Luka and KP above those two.
Even though Russell Westbrook is in DC with Bradley Beal, do you still think that James Harden John Wall duo could be potentially top five, or would that list be slightly changed? Because I know you mentioned the Harden Westbrook duo of last year, but in this upcoming season, could James Harden and John Wall be a top five duo, especially with how John Wall's been looking this preseason?
Well, let me go back and say, just to have a better comment on that duo, what Westbrook and Harden, they were put in the position where they had to each get 30, and their 30 was there for them on the plate, go get it, and there's no problem. They got pieces that's going to rebound the ball. If they can't get the shot up, they got good three-point shooters that could trigger the three. So, I mean, the 30 points was on their plate every night. If you see Harden's preseason debut last night, he played very well with Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. I don't know. It really depends on how Wall comes back and playing. If Wall can come back and get, you know, 25 to 30 and still assist the ball, I think, yes, they could still be a top five duo. But just from what I've been seeing from John Wall, I haven't seen a 25-point game out of him. Although he hasn't got the time, he's still able to put up buckets, 15 to 20 every night. I'm sure his assists are going to go up. But, yeah, I mean, if Wall could do what he could – If he could do what he was doing before he got hurt, yeah, I still see them as a top five.
They definitely make a lot of good cases there. I like your top five. A lot of people are going to hate on me. I can't believe I forgot to mention KD and Kyrie in my top five. That's unbelievable to me.
No, I can't fault you. I can't fault you because they didn't play. They did not play at all. You know, they really didn't play at all. But, like, from their preseason debut, they look nice.
I also love your Nikola Jokic Jamal Murray duo. I guess I might have bought into the hype of Kawhi and Paul George. That's why I put him at number two, and you gave me a shocked face. But I mean, looking at your list, I mean, a lot of viewers, when they probably hear me say Kawhi Leonard, Paul George number two, I can say, like, Matt, you crazy, like, you're out of your mind.
But, and you know what, man, you know who you mentioned and that I didn't mention, I don't think. Who did I have at number two? Who did I put at? KD and Kyrie.
No, number two, you have KD and Kyrie. I mentioned CJ and Dame. Exactly. And CJ.
And I didn't mention them. But then again, you know, Golden State was an honorable mention. If I could take them out, I would easily slide Dame and CJ right there. You know,
yeah, especially because Dame time is a whole nother thing in itself. Like, once he gets cooking, he gets cooking.
Yeah. He gets cooking. He definitely gets cooking for sure. It's Dame time, you know?
Yep, Dame time. Let's move on to the offseason moves that the Mavericks have made. They were one of the busiest teams in the offseason. They made a couple trades. One of the trades was trading Justin Jackson to the Oklahoma City Thunder for James Johnson. Caleb, you heard that trade. What are your thoughts on that? Did the Mavericks make a good decision moving on from Justin Jackson and getting more of an established veteran in James Johnson?
Yeah, most definitely. I think by them, you know, doing those moves, they definitely help. I don't know how much they will help. I think they need to focus on, you know, getting players that really fit the system. You know what I'm saying? And they're cool complementary pieces. I don't know if they are cornerstones, you know? How do you feel?
I feel like the move was okay. I feel like this was a move to where, you know, Justin Jackson wasn't going to get a lot of play time anyways. Might as well get a guy like a James Johnson who can fill in your bench role as a power forward. You know, whether you have Porzingis at power forward, Maxi Kleba, or whatever. But you know, that's just a situation to where I just think that was just an additional piece to add to the bench.
Yeah,
I think that was a good bench piece add.
Yeah, I mean, it's not another too big. I think when you go and you look at that Josh Richardson trade, how do you feel about that, man? Because I watched Philly last night and they look really good with Seth out there. So how do you feel about that trade?
I thought that was an interesting trade. I think the reason why they added Josh Richardson instead was to try to improve the defense. Seth Curry is a great shooter. We saw him in Dallas, what he was able to do. I was actually shocked that Dallas would make that move. I thought Dallas was going to keep Seth Curry around, keep a sharpshooter around for Luka and Porzingis. But with that move, with that addition to Josh Richardson, I think that just shows that they want to prioritize defense. They have sharpshooters on the team already. You know, Luka, Porzingis, whenever he gets hot. And you get a guy like Josh Richardson, it's kind of one of those where for each team, it's like a win-win. Sixers get their shooter that they need to help Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And the Mavericks get their kind of more of a defensive shooting guard in Josh Richardson. So personally, it's a win-win for both sides. If you had to pick a side to that want to trade more, I'd probably say Philadelphia more than Dallas, just because Philadelphia got their sharpshooter that they needed. And they got to move off of Josh Richardson's contract. And you know, you look at Dallas and say, hey, we're going to prioritize defense with Josh Richardson. And whatever shooting ability he has, just let him have at it.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that, you know. And I think, you know, he will have a spot, like not a spot. The right word is a role to, you know, guard the best player on the other team. No matter if it's guarding him 94 feet or just having that assignment, I think that would definitely be his assignment. And I think that's kind of like the give and that they took. They needed somebody who could play Jamal Murray the whole game and not have a problem. So they got that in him, and they still do have scoring with Hardaway on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. So definitely good moves there by the Mavericks in the trade side of things. Now, their free agent signings that they have weren't really active in the free agent market. Added Wesley Iwundu and Nate Hinton as an undrafted free agent. What were kind of your thoughts on those moves? Were you surprised that the Mavericks didn't really make a lot of moves in the free agency side of things? Or was it just more a situation of just make some trades and then maybe add two filler guys to fill up the rotation?
No, you know what, man? I think their plan was totally to just kind of save their money for next year. There wasn't too much you could do. It's not like this class was super stacked. And I mean, they could have made some moves. They could have got somebody like Hassan Whiteside. That would have been really good for them. If they could have put some money on Harrell, that would have been dope to see Harrell go there. But I just don't think this was the class that they were trying to attack. I think they were basically trying to save their money for, you know, 2021, 2022. And that's what I feel like directed their moves. So with their moves here, I don't see any free agent moves that they made, like, bringing them to the next level, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you made some fantastic points, and I'd have to agree with you as well. I think they're kind of looking at the 2021 free agency and say, hey, you know, Giannis may be off the board and Paul George, but there's still that prize in Kawhi Leonard. What it do, baby? You know, he's still available in that free agency class. And, you know, I think Dallas is really banking on that duo of Luka and Porzingis. They're going to ride with those two guys, and they're just going to go into this season and, you know, kind of see what happens. You know, if they need to make a move at the trade deadline to get another star, I think they will make that move. But, you know, they're just looking at it and say, we don't really have a lot of cap space. We kind of knew we weren't going to get Anthony Davis in the first place. No need to make trades to save up cap space that aren't going to go anywhere. And like you mentioned, they're probably going to go after that 2021 free agency class where they're gonna try and add a big fish, try to add a big name to that team. And while we're
definitely try to go get the big fish, you know. And like when we talk about the 2021 free agent class, who is there? It's really shrinking. I mean, Kawhi and Luka, I'd like to see that. But do they have the money to get that done? We shall see. I think they put themselves in a very good position to make that happen if it comes their way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely see how the Dallas Mavericks will attack that free agent class whenever that hits. Let's discuss their draft. The Dallas Mavericks in the first round with the 18th pick of the NBA draft, they selected Josh Green. Caleb, what are your thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks drafting Josh Green with the 18th pick?
I think it was a solid pick. You know, he's an aggressive, athletic guy. Can score, get a bucket, shoot the three. He's young, so he still has a lot more developing to do. But I think it was a solid pick, honestly. I remember watching him play in high school, top-ranked guy. He was just killing. So his potential is very high. I think he was probably the best on the board at that time. How do you feel about the pick?
I thought it was a fantastic pick from the Dallas Mavericks, especially when you trade Seth Curry and also move on from other shooting guards in during the offseason, and you basically only have Tim Hardaway, Josh Richardson. Josh Green is a guy to where he could be their future shooting guard. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, Josh Richardson has a year left on his contract after this season, as well as Tim Hardaway Jr. So you look at that. If those two guys are off the books after this year, Josh Green could slide right in to that starting shooting guard position and take over for, you know, that next season. So I think it was a phenomenal pick by the Mavericks. I think this could be a steal. Now, this may be bold, but I think depending on how well he does, he could be in a potential sleeper rookie of the year, like sleeper, like the definition of sleep. That's where Josh Green could be. I mean, he won't be in the top five for rookie of the year, but if there's like a top 10, I think you got to put Josh Green up there, especially if he impresses during the season. Like, if he exceeds expectation, why not put him in and start? I mean, we've seen rookies start off the season where they come off the bench and then they just impress. I mean, look at Donovan Mitchell. When Donovan Mitchell was drafted by the Nuggets and then had his draft rights to the Jazz, when he first started off with the Jazz, nobody really knew who he was. And then as he started and got more minutes, he turned into a superstar and, you know, possibly could have won Rookie of the Year. You know, that's how great of a talent he was. I think Josh Green has the capability to be that kind of player, to where maybe he'll start off on the bench, but as the season goes on, he could add on more minutes as the season goes on. And the Mavericks, they got a veteran coach in Rick Carlisle who's been there a long time. He knows the system. He'll find his spots to where to put in Josh Green. So Yeah. Definitely excited to see what he's able to do on the Dallas Mavericks as a whole.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I think, you know, you hit all the points right there. And that's a pretty bold take, you know. But I see the same trajectory for him as well. Going to their next pick, Tyrell Terry, I think he was a solid pick for them as well, you know. They did draft Trae Young, and they traded Trae Young for Luka Doncic. And I think with Tyrell Terry, they kind of were able to at least get a shot at almost the best of both worlds. I'm not saying he will be another Trae Young, but his game is pretty similar. If he could develop the right way, you could see some spurts of Trae Young from him, because he was a damn well good shooter for sure. I mean, and I barely learned about him. Shout out to Nick Andre too. We did an article on him, and I didn't know that he was from Cali. You know, he went to De La Salle, so that was cool for him. So shout out to him. You know, Cali boy. Hopefully, he goes out there and succeeds. I think he's a really good point guard. Like, he's a sleeper. You know how they say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sleeper.
Yep.
Sleeper. How do you feel about Tyrell Terry, man?
I think Tyrell Terry's gonna do good in Dallas. I mean, he's a point guard. What's gonna be interesting to me is how are they gonna utilize Jalen Brunson? I mean, Jalen Brunson was kind of like the guy who will be utilized as backup point guard. With this draft of Tyrell Terry, it kind of makes you wonder how is Brunson gonna fit in? You know, is Brunson gonna fit in the rotation? And if Tyrell Terry is who a lot of people say he is, a smooth, skilled guard, averaging almost 15 points a game, almost 5 rebounds and 3 assists. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he'll fit in with Dallas. So I'm excited to see what he's able to bring to Dallas as a whole. You know, can he make them better? Can he produce coming off the bench? That'll be something we'll have to wait and see what happens. And their final selection that they made was with the 36th pick in the NBA draft. The Dallas Mavericks selected Tyler Bay from the University of Colorado, and he plays power forward. Caleb, what are your thoughts on the Mavericks in the second round drafting Tyler Bay?
I mean, that was a pretty good pick too. I know that he was somebody that a lot of teams had their eye on. He could still do a lot of good things, score in the mid-range, shoot three, hold his own with body weight and stuff like that. So he was a solid pick. I'm excited to see how he plays. My eyes are a lot more on Tyrell Terry and Josh Green. But at the end of the day, I think this guy is a good pick, and I'd like to see where they work him in, you know.
Yeah, I definitely love to see how they work him in as well, especially with him being the power forward that he is. It'll be interesting to see how they'll match him up with guys like Maxi Kleber, Dwight Powell, you know, with Porzingis as well at power forward. How will they play Tyler Bay will be a topic that will be discussed.
I thought he was a little bit more of like a forward shooting guard type, but he is a lot bigger, I guess. I mean, he plays on the perimeter. He's like, I don't know how. I'm really – it's interesting. Like you said, it's interesting how he will fit in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether they'll put him in like a small ball lineup or if they'll put him out. You know, that'll be something that, you know, Rick Carlisle will have to decide during the season, and something the Mavericks will have to roll with. You know, that's the exciting part of the NBA. You know, you get to see some players who sometimes you've never heard of before. That's going to be – something that we'll have to see what will happen. And to close out this edition of What Would You Do, NBA Offseason Edition, let's discuss to see how the Mavericks will finish. Caleb, last year the Dallas Mavericks made the playoffs as the seventh seed, got bounced in the first round. Can the Mavericks make it further than the first round this upcoming season? Where do you think they can finish among all the teams of the Western Conference?
I got them in my top 5, man. The season is a lot of uncertainty on the line, but I think if they could stay healthy to start off the season, I could see them being a 5 seed. a 5 seed. If anything, 6 or 7, but they're definitely in the playoffs. But this year, I see them taking a step in the right direction, improving, and I got them running with a 5 seed.
All right, I have to agree with you as well. Great minds think alike. I think the Mavericks will make the playoffs as well. I think they're gonna be a top 5 seed. I mean, I think in my opinion, the top 3 teams are pretty much set in stone. It's gonna be the Lakers, the Nuggets, and the Clippers, 1, 2, 3. It's going to be either one of those 3. But 4 through 8 is wide open. I think the Mavericks are going to be in that position where they could be a 4th or 5th seed or even as low as the 8th seed. But, you know, they're going to be a team that's going to make the playoffs. You know, in my opinion, they're now going to be in the echelon of playoff contenders. Do I think they'll win a championship? No. I think the Lakers are too powerful. I think teams in the East could easily beat the Mavericks, but I do believe that the Dallas Mavericks can make the playoffs and will definitely be a team to look out for to possibly make a run in the NBA playoffs, because we've seen it before where a lot of people don't really expect the team to make a run in the playoffs, and they do. I mean, look at the Denver Nuggets. They were the 3rd seed. They're down 3-1 against the Jazz. We thought they couldn't do it. They came back and won the series. They were down 3-1 against the Clippers. We didn't think they'd do it. What happens? They did it. They made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, which nobody thought they would, and they did. I think Dallas has the potential to be that team to where a lot of people think, oh, you know, they can make the playoffs, but, you know, maybe they'll make it to the 2nd round. You know, that's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens with the Dallas Mavericks, how they will finish this season, and how they'll do this upcoming season, because, you know, it's a hit or miss. If Porzingis is injured a lot of the season, then it's going to be a big problem. But if Porzingis can stay healthy, if Luka can continue to develop like he's developing, man, those Dallas Mavericks are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Western Conference for this season and many seasons to come.
Simple. Look out for them. Definitely excited to where they may go. Just keep them on your radar. They're going to get a chip soon. Within the next 5 to 7 years.
Yep, next 5 to 7 years, you could definitely count on a championship in the city of Dallas, an NBA championship, that is. And that, my friends, will conclude the 17th edition of What Would You Do, NBA Offseason Edition. Caleb, where should the listeners be able to find all of your fantastic work?
You can find me on Instagram at @1CalebConan. You can find me on Twitter at @CalebConan2. Click the link tree in the bio, and you can find other things too. We got my article. You got the podcast, MCS Real Sports Podcast. You got Jules and Jim's podcast with me and my dad. Be on the lookout for episodes every Thursday. Change the narrative wristbands. You feel me? Go get you a change the narrative wristband. You did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely check those out. My Twitter is @Matt_Skura. My Instagram is @Matt_Skura19. And make sure you guys check out this podcast that Caleb and I create. Give it a listen. Even give a listen of our other episodes that we've put up. We've put up a lot of What Would You Do NBA offseason editions. So far, we've done 17 out of 30 teams. And make sure you check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. This is Matt Skura and my great friend Caleb Connett. We are signing off.